What's with everybody trashing the Josh Heupel offense? I mean, Hendon Hooker went through it during this draft process. Jalin Hyatt went through it during this draft process. Well, Josh Heupel was asked about it on the Big Orange Caravan stop in Chattanooga. What did he have to say, and a whole lot more. This is Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is your Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Cambridge. Thank you guys for being here with me here today. Shout out you everydayers. Thanks so much for being back here on your Wednesday show. You know the drill. If you haven't already, I say it every single day, so just please, just do it. Subscribe to the Locked On Vols YouTube channel. That helps me out more than you know, and follow us, subscribe to us wherever you get your audio podcast. This is Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. It's a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and we're going to talk a little bit of football. We're going to hear from Josh Heupel and see Josh Heupel if you're watching on YouTube from his stop on the Big Orange Caravan. Ask a couple of questions. We're going to go over here in segment number one. What up with Josh Ward for Ward Wednesday in segment three? But I was kind of inspired a little bit from one of the Twitter Tuesday questions yesterday about, you know, who were your top five wide receivers in the SEC? Brew McCoy was in there. So that got me thinking, does any other player for Tennessee right now, would they rank in the top five at their respective positions across the SEC? A little bit of that here in segment number two. But it was Josh Heupel. Stop on the Big Orange Caravan, Chattanooga. It was Monday evening, and he was kind of asked, you know, this is the first time we've heard from Josh Heupel since the NFL draft. Of course, you had, big showing for Tennessee, five picks in the first three rounds, back-to-back drafts where Tennessee had five picks. You had a top 10 pick in Darnell Wright. You had a run of balls in the third round led by Hendon Hooker, two receivers, and Jalin Hyatt, Cedric Tillman. And then you got into Byron Young with the LA Rams towards about midway through the third round. Ask about what he thought of Tennessee showing in the NFL draft. This is what Josh Heupel had to say. And of course, he was asked about that, and then asked specifically about the run of guys in the third round, kind of going back to back to back. This is what Josh Heupel had to say.
Man, super excited about those guys. I think, five guys in the first three rounds, second most in the country. Excited about them taking the next step. You see the wideouts go. Proud of those guys, and real excited for them. Yeah, I wish we could have pre-planned that and gotten everybody in front of the TV sets across Tennessee to see all that action. But awesome to see all those guys go. You look at all their journeys, different, but in some ways similar too. Those are all guys that, you know, really invested, grew from the time that our staff got here. Where they started their careers out at that point and how they moved forward. Those guys, you know, became some of the most prominent names in college football. They put themselves in a position to be drafted. Expect all those guys to handle it like a pro as they transition to the next level and have a ton of success.
Josh Heupel there saying, hey, wish we all kind of had some heads up so we could all get in front of a television and sit there and watch that happen. But hey, that's the beautiful thing about the NFL draft and how nothing is pre-planned whatsoever. And just when you think you have a plan and you think what, you know, something might be happening, it goes array, right? And so that is the NFL draft. Brent Hubbs, my boss, FallQuest.com, he was down there at the Big Orange Caravan stop in Chattanooga. He asked Josh Heupel, like, hey, you get this stick, you know, against your offense and looking at it from a national perspective and especially an NFL perspective, that it won't translate to the National Football League. Quarterback play won't translate to the National Football League. Wide receiver play won't translate to the National Football League, all that type of stuff. You know, how do you feel about that? Does that frustrate you? And I love this answer here from Josh Heupel. He's just so candid. This is what he had to say. And then specifically, he talks about the receiver position.
Man, like, you know, 10 years ago, I think there was a trickle-down effect from the NFL to college. I think it's the exact opposite in today's landscape. Over the last three cycles or three drafts, we've had five wide receivers. I've had more wide receivers drafted in the last 3 years than any other college coach. I think that speaks to what we're doing, how we're developing those guys. Those guys understanding, you know, coverages, concepts, but also how to beat man coverage. That can be press, that can be off technique. That doesn't just happen by accident. So I think what we do does translate in how those guys have been developed.
Love that answer too over there from Josh Heupel saying, you know, 10 years ago, there was kind of a trickle-down effect from the National Football League to the collegiate game. You know, what are you doing in the National Football League? These guys are the best of the best. This is the offensive schemes. This is the offensive structures, the defensive philosophies, all that type of stuff. Let me adapt. Let me duplicate my coaching style and teaching methods on what they're doing. And there's still a lot of that, especially like how you go about teaching a certain position. But there's still a lot of that today. But Josh Heupel says, I think in the last 3-4 drafts, you've seen it kind of reverse. You're seeing more of the college game in the NFL. And I completely agree. I mean, look at the quarterback position first and foremost right now. You are going smaller. You are going more agile. You are going more athletic. You know, Kyler Murray was drafted number one overall. Bryce Young drafted number one overall. Look at the quarterback that just got paid, you know, and what's his name for the Ravens? Lamar Jackson just got paid. You know, 10, 15 years ago, that style of quarterback didn't last in the National Football League. And certainly wasn't making that type of money. So, I mean, you're seeing, that's just one example and just one position at the quarterback position that you're seeing. It's not all pro style. It's not all, I mean, you still see obviously pro style offenses. You still see pro style concepts, and that is what the NFL runs, but you're now incorporating, you know, some RPOs, you're incorporating some spread option. You're incorporating a lot of that type of stuff that you see more in the college game. And hear me out too, football, you're not reinventing the wheel here. The same concepts you're seeing in football today are the same concepts that have been around for years. Coaches maybe put their own spin on it and, you know, run it for years after years and have success. And we say, oh, well, that came from Mike Leach, or, oh, that came from, you know, so-and-so or so-and-so. And that's completely fair. But these concepts have been around for years upon years upon years. Like, I remember, you know, back when I was younger and the Dolphins started doing the Wildcat. And I was sitting here just thinking, I'm like, whoa, what is this? The Wildcat. And it took the media. It took, you know, college NFL fans by storm. It's like, wow, what is this? What's going on? Guys, the Wildcat's been around for 4 or 5 decades, right? It's not new. You just kind of reinvent and put your twist on some things. So I completely agree with that. What we're seeing in the NFL right now, still pro-style football schemes overall and everything, but you're seeing added twists, and you're seeing a different type of quarterback, a different type of body, you know, playing in the National Football League, and I think it's just great for the game. I truly do. So, yeah, I completely agree. And then he's like, I love the humble brag there, right? Hashtag humble brag. He's like, I've got more wide receivers. He said I one time, and then the next couple of times he said what we're doing. And, you know, Josh Heupel's not an egotistical guy. I don't think that he is, especially considering some of the former head coaches that have been here at Tennessee. But that was a humble brag upon humble brag. He's like, you know, I got more guys in the NFL right now than any other college coach in America. And some of those that came to mind in terms of wide receivers that, again, just I didn't look this up. This is just off the top of my mind. Obviously, Jalen Hyatt, Cedric Tillman, you got Bayless Jones. Gabriel Davis was a standout at UCF. I'm not sure if UCF had any wide receivers that were drafted who were holdovers from Josh Heupel in this draft. I'm not sure. But, I mean, obviously, he coached wide receivers at Missouri. He coached wide receivers at Oklahoma. You know, quarterbacks that under his tutelage, Hendon Hooker, Drew Locke, Sam Bradford. He coached Sam Bradford at Oklahoma. Drew Locke was a big-time draft pick a couple years ago. Sure, is he QB1 right now? No, but is he still in the league? Yes. You know, proof's in the pudding. A guy that was drafted a couple years ago, Jacob Harris from the tight end position at UCF. He's in the league right now and on an active roster and been there for a couple years. So the players translate. You develop players, you know, that they run your offense. It can translate. You're doing an awful lot. You're processing information at an extremely high clip, doing more than probably anybody else in America is doing in terms of the offense. And so I love the humble brag there, and I loved his response when asked, you know, people say this about your offense. What do you say? That was some good stuff. I believe the Big Orange Caravan wraps up. Maybe it was last night. Maybe it's tonight. It's in the Tri-Cities, and that will do it there. They've made their way from Memphis, Nashville, Knoxville, Chattanooga, and wrapping up in the Tri-Cities. So when we come back, we'll have Josh Ward in segment number 3. Tennessee players, are they top 5 in their positions around the Southeastern Conference? And on that, CBS Sports, a way too early 2024 NFL mock draft, has a Tennessee volunteer in the first round, but it is not the one that you're thinking of right now. That's coming up in segment number 2 as we continue on here with your Wednesday edition of Locked on Vols. Hey guys, looking for a delicious snack but don't want all the sugar and calories? Then you need the best tasting protein bar ever, and that is Built. you got to try this. You want to eat healthier. Swimsuit season is right around the corner. I'm going to the beach here in just a couple weeks. Super excited about that. Not sure how I'm going to be covering baseball while I'm there, but I'll figure it out. But you don't want to sacrifice taste in your snacks, but you want to have something that is good for you and is really, really good with protein as well. That is Built Bar. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. 100% real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream. You know, that's my favorite. But what makes Built Bar so great for you, aside from those chocolate that, you know, nobody's going to dispute chocolate's not good for you because it's amazing, 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar, only 130 calories. And now you don't have to wait around at your mailbox for Built.com to ship your order. You can go to your local Sam's Club or Walmart and buy your favorite Built bars or puffs. So try them out today. 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar, only 130 calories. Built Bar, you got to try this. Do it today online still at Built.com where you can get your favorite specialty flavors, or go to your local Sam's Club or Walmart today. Segment number 2 of a Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys for staying with us here today. We got Josh Ward, a little Ward Wednesday action that's coming up in segment number 3. But I was inspired to kind of bring this and expand this a little bit. And we'll know more and more as we get closer to the season and we start doing, you know, breakdowns and opponent previews. And maybe I'll do, at least for Tennessee's sake, maybe I'll do a post-spring practice positional power rankings. I think that's something I wrote heading into the offseason. I should probably circle back around on that and do it, you know, post-spring. But we'll have a better understanding of Tennessee, of course, but also of its opponents in the Southeastern Conference. But I want to go around and got a question to ask about who are the top 5 wide receivers in the SEC on Twitter Tuesday's podcast. And that got me thinking, does Tennessee have a current player that would rank inside the top 5 at their current position around the SEC? And I think Tennessee has a couple of those. Let's just kind of start and let's just work our way through this, right? Quarterback. I do think Joe Milton would rank inside the top 5, right? I mean, you've got, and we've had this conversation before, I know there's been some offseason rankings and all that type of stuff, but you got Jaden Daniels, you got KJ Jefferson, Spencer Rattler, Will Rogers, Joe Milton. Those are kind of the ones that jump up to me first and foremost. You know, will Carson Beck be in that conversation? Will whoever starts at Alabama be in that conversation? You know, we'll see. Will Devin Leary at Kentucky be in that conversation? I think he is really, really good, guys. Potentially, we'll have to see. What about the three-headed monster over at Ole Miss? Will Spencer Sanders rise and take over Jackson Dart? And, you know, will he be in this conversation? I don't know. But I do think right now I would put Joe Milton. He might be fifth or fourth, but I would put Joe Milton as a top 5 quarterback in the SEC entering the season. So quarterback, check. That's according to me. Let's go to wide receiver. Well, we did that the other day, and I said Brew McCoy, check. Running backs. I'm not putting any Tennessee running back in the top 5, but I would put Tennessee's running back room up there with the best of the SEC. I would. Why? Well, because you're bringing back all your experience and you're adding to it. Jabari Small, Jalen Wright, Dylan Sampson. Now you're bringing in Cam Selvin, Khalifa Keith, Deshaun Bishop. You're adding to that room, right? And so I think Tennessee's room, top to bottom, would be up there, but individual player, I don't think so. Maybe not. Maybe. But maybe Jalen Wright gets in that conversation. But for right now, I will hold off again, this is kind of just off the top of the mind, right? Without, checking in, looking at depth charts and everything. That's kind of where I'm at right now. Tight ends, probably not. Now, guys who are most important to their teams and to their offensive, Jacob Warren would be up there. But from a pure production standpoint, I don't think that Tennessee's tight end would be up there. Tackles, I don't know about John Campbell yet. Gerald Mincy and J.J. Crawford wouldn't be in that conversation. Guards, well, Tennessee doesn't know who is going to be on the left side right now. Javonte Spraggins, he's about to be a 3-year starter. Maybe he's in that conversation. Cooper Mays at center would be a top 5 player in the conference at his position. Because think about it, there's only 14 centers in the league, right? Starting centers. I think Cooper Mays is in the top 5 for sure. But interesting, and I'll say this, we'll move on. Defensive line, edge, nobody right now. Byron Young would be in that conversation, but edge, nobody right now. In you know, defensive line, maybe Amari Thomas. Maybe it's such a rotational position all across, you know, college football, but especially at Tennessee. Maybe Amari Thomas would be in that conversation as being one of the better defensive linemen in this league. Linebacker, I'm not ready to say that Aaron Beasley's in that conversation yet, and we don't know about Keenan Peely. And then secondary, as of right now, nobody. Can Danico Slaughter jump up and be there? Can Gabe Judy-Lally? Can, I don't know, can anybody else? But right now, nobody. So really, the conversation is on the offensive end. But that kind of led me into this. Saw where CBS Sports did a 2024 way too early mock draft. And they had a Tennessee Volunteer in the first round. And again, this is the same way too early mock draft CBS Sports when they had Will Levis going number one overall last year. And we all sat here and we all hee-haw laughed. And we said, that's never going to happen, yada, yada, yada. Lo and behold, sure, he slipped and he went in the second round. But he was in that conversation the entire year leading up to the NFL draft. He had the second best odds of going number one overall. He had over 99% chance of being drafted in the first round. So again, it's not verbatim. You're not going to write everything in stone here, but it is a fun exercise to do, and there's some guys that kind of hit or miss sometimes. But CBS Sports, in the way too early 2024 mock draft, has a Tennessee Volunteer in the first round. But it is not the Tennessee Volunteer you're thinking of. Right now, you're probably thinking Joe Milton, because, you know, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, there's a lot of parallels there. But right now, Joe Milton isn't that guy. Okay, well, what about Brew McCoy? What about Dante Thornton? They'll be draft-eligible players at this point in time. What about those guys? Nope, not talking about that. Okay, well, wouldn't be Cooper Mays. He's a little undersized. Wouldn't be Jacob Warren, because he'll be a sixth-year college guy, and, you know, he's not going to be drafted in the first round for sure. Who could it be? At number 30 in the way too early 2024 mock draft over CBSSports.com. And again, this is always funny because they put teams with it. Who the hell? We don't know the draft order for next year because they hadn't played the games yet. The Philadelphia Eagles with the 2024 30th overall pick select Tennessee's Javontez Spraggins. What? That color me shocked right there for sure. I mean, Javontez Spraggins is a good player. I like him. I call him a bulldog. He is mean. He is nasty. It's what you want. He's a little bit undersized on the interior, but you really, really like his game. At least I do. He's come a long way, too. I do think he's gotten better and better. I think he's got another gear to go, but I do think he's improved, and he started in 2021. He started this past season as well. This is what they say about Javontez Spraggins. Spraggins flashed last fall while we were watching Darnell Wright. If he can have a Wright-type leap over the summer, he can make his way into the top 50 conversation. Okay, so again, this is, you know, way too early and everything. It's just, you know, watch out. This is really just a watch list, okay? You know, watch out. If he has that type of season, maybe Javontez Spraggins could be picked in the, you know, first or maybe the second round, maybe the top 50 in that kind of conversation. So I thought that was really interesting because Javontez Spraggins is not a guy that I would say has first round makeup right now. But again, did Darnell Wright at this point in time last year? Javontez Spraggins is only 6'3", 325 pounds. That's not a small boy. It's not. But to be an interior offensive lineman, a little bit short, I don't know. He can still play it for sure. And he's played some good football for Tennessee, and I think he has gotten better and better. But I thought that was interesting because if CBS Sports thinks that Javontez Spraggins could be a first-round pick next year, wouldn't he be in the top five at his position in the SEC? Maybe. I mean, again, right now, it is May, guys. I'm not going to act like I know every guard that's starting in the Southeastern Conference, but I wouldn't put Javontez Spraggins in that conversation. Maybe I would just because he's a three-year starter, or he will be a three-year starter, but I wouldn't say that he's first, second, third. I don't know. It's interesting. That is very interesting. So, and that's a lot of times that's how you find guys, right? You're evaluating. That's how you find recruits. You're going, if you're a college coach, to watch a certain prospect and you see another one. Maybe it's on the same team. Maybe it's in the game that the team that they're playing against. You see somebody else. Well, that's how CBS Sports kind of described it. They were watching film of Darnell Wright. Lo and behold, they found Javontez Spraggins. So thought that was a little interesting. But what say you? Is there anybody else for Tennessee that might be in the top five at their position right now in the Southeastern Conference? I would put Joe Milton in that conversation, a quarterback. I would put Brew McCoy in that conversation, a wide receiver. I would put Omari Thomas in that conversation at defensive line, and I would put Cooper Mays in that conversation at center. Am I missing anybody else? We can discuss here tomorrow on Locked On Vols. Josh Ward, Ward Wednesday, is coming up next. It is that time of the week, Ward Wednesday, and we are joined by Josh Ward. He's the host of Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal, noon to three weekdays. He writes the Josh and Swain newsletter that can be in your inbox completely free every single Friday morning. He used to host Locked On Vols before it got, I don't want to say
super popular.
I don't want to say significantly better, Josh, but you know, it is what it is. It is Josh Ward. What's up, brother? Is it how was your draft weekend watching five Tennessee Volunteers go in the top 76 picks?
It was good. I mean, I'm happy to complain about how late Thursday night goes. They promoted as 8 to 11:30, and it of course lasts until midnight. We've got skits that we're doing during the draft, and I'm just wanting to see players get picked. But it was a good weekend for Tennessee. It was what a run Friday when you have four guys go in a 10-pick span is pretty incredible. And I know some of those guys wanted to go earlier, but I think they landed in good spots, and it's more for Tennessee fans to keep up with. So good weekend for Tennessee. The fact that we have to go back more than 15 years to find back-to-back years with Tennessee having five-plus players drafted is crazy to me. So don't lose sight of what's happened the last couple of years on the field and then in the NFL draft, because there is absolutely correlation.
You know what would have made last week even better for me personally? If I could have watched the draft and not have to cover a baseball game. Literally every single day when the draft was on, I was covering a baseball game. So that kind of sucked. But hey, that's the beautiful thing about my job. I still get to be around sports, which is awesome. Darnell Wright, 10th overall. Mm-hmm. Did you see it? Did you expect it? What an accomplishment for him, for Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee just had a top 10 pick. Could you fathom that in January of 2021?
No, I didn't think that January 2021 or 22. I thought that Darnell was a lock to go in the first round, and I was very confident that he would be a top 20 pick. But I didn't think top 10. And there had been a mock draft in recent weeks that had Darnell going to the Bears at number 9, so might have had some intel from maybe that workout that they put him through. I don't remember the timing exactly, but there wasn't that much talk there. Most of it was in the mid-teens, maybe even sliding into the early 20s, but it's a huge compliment from the Bears. They put him through that workout and saw what he's made of, and they also knew we have to fix this offensive line. We have to protect Justin Fields, because the Bears were worse than every other team in the NFL at protecting their guy. Now, there's more pressure when you're a top 10 pick, and in Chicago, there will be a lot of attention on him, but it's just a tremendous opportunity, and I think a really good landing spot for Darnell.
Hendon does not go in the first round. I was beating that drum for weeks, man, and hey, that goes to show you how much I know, right? But hey, that's the whole NFL draft, right? Who had Will Levis? Yeah. Who had a 99.2% chance of being drafted in the first round, according to ESPN stats and info, and he falls out of the first round. That's the NFL draft. But Hendon goes in the third round to the Detroit Lions. What do you like about that?
Well, I like that he has Ben Johnson, his offensive coordinator, who is one of the most respected offensive coaches in the NFL right now. Mark Brunell, a veteran quarterback, who is the quarterback's coach. And then also JT Barrett, the assistant QB coach, who might be able to help Hendon with what he's transitioning from.
I didn't know that.
With his role as a quarterback in college and the way he plays to what he will do next in the NFL, JT can probably relate to what Hendon will be doing next from college to the pro with what you need to learn. And then, of course, Jared Goff is the starter, and maybe he ends up being the starter long-term. Maybe the Lions have a ton of success and Goff is even better this year and they decide to extend him. Or the Lions could see that, you know, Goff is a quality quarterback, but Hendon, if he puts the work in behind the scenes and develops and shows the coaches the promise that they believe in drafting him, that with Goff's contract being flexible to where the Lions can get out after this year, it opens up an opportunity for Hendon to become the guy. He has to put the work in and he has to produce behind the scenes for them to believe in that. But Hendon knows that. And that would have been the case if he was a late first round pick or a second round pick. And this is not your typical Detroit Lions, I don't believe. I think this is a team that's better. They were in it until the end. They're actually, at least according to a couple of sports books out there, favored to win their division right now, and it's going to be a tight race. But
helps when you take Aaron Rodgers out of that division.
Yeah, yeah, that's a huge part of it, of course. So it's available, it's obtainable. So I like the spot. There's not a lot of pressure on Hendon either, being in that position. Not that he's afraid of it, but I think it worked out okay for Hendon. Obviously, he'd like to go 30 picks higher and get more money in his initial contract, but he'll get money, he'll manage it fine, and he has a chance to have a long NFL career, whether he's the first pick of the second round or a top five pick in the third round.
Tennessee has wide receivers going back-to-back in the third round with the 10th and 11th pick. The New York Giants select Jalin Hyatt. The Cleveland Browns select Cedric Tillman. I like both of these destinations for these guys. The Giants have been high on Jalin Hyatt for the entire process. Every time I inquired with somebody more knowledgeable than me on this, it was always like, watch for the Giants, watch for the Giants. Mm-hmm. Didn't think they were going to take him at 25 or 26, but took him in the third round, and then Cleveland taking Cedric Tillman. That just screams a Cedric Tillman destination. Like, there's a need there. He's going to play early. He will play early there. He's got a good quarterback as well. I love those two spots for Hyatt and Tillman.
Yeah, so you want to be wanted, right? Jalin Hyatt was wanted by the Giants. There was a lot of talk there late first. He ends up sliding into the third. The Giants are still able to get him. They talked about at the press conference not expecting or believing that they would have the opportunity to draft Hyatt there, but they're able to get him. And the reason I say you want to be wanted is, whether you're a first-round pick or a third-round pick, the team is investing in you. And the Giants were talked about as a team that could go after Hyatt for a reason, because they had evaluated him as a guy that could work in their offense. And with Brian Daboll, I'm going to trust that they're going to figure out a way to use Jalin Hyatt. He's one of the best offensive coaches in the NFL. Jalin has to be ready to compete. He may have an extra chip on his shoulder being a third-round pick. He shouldn't lack for motivation, but that can help. So he'll have to go in there and compete. Paris Campbell's there. They're going to have guys that are trying to beat out Jalin for a spot, but they drafted him with an idea of how he can work in their offense, and I'm going to bet on that working out. And then I agree with you on Cedric Tillman. He's a guy that I think probably goes lower than he should have during the season, early part of the season before his injury. There's a lot of first-round talk with Cedric. And in that offense, Mike Dettillier, draft analyst, was on Josh and Swain with us talking about the kinds of routes that Tillman is going to run is where Deshaun Watson can be most effective a lot of the time as a passer. So there's a good chance for him to connect. Again, he'll have to compete. They're making an investment in you in a third-round pick, but they're also in a position where, okay, you got to go earn your spot. You're not a first-rounder where it's almost given to you, but Tillman's going to work. He had to put the work in as an unwanted no-star prospect almost out of Bishop Gorman at Tennessee. He had to wait his turn. He had to prove himself, and he knows that going into Cleveland, and I bet he will.
He was a throw-in coming to Tennessee. A throw-in, you know? I mean,
if the receiver Jordan Young doesn't flip to Florida State, I don't know where Tillman goes. But
yeah,
the receiver flips to FSU. Tennessee takes Tillman, who was at the biggest school in Nevada, one of the biggest schools on the West Coast, and couldn't get anybody to take him. Chip Helton, the head coach there at USC, they didn't have a spot for him. USC was recruiting at such a high level, but told his brother Tyson, hey, go take a look at Tillman here. And a spot opened up and Tennessee took him, and the rest is history. But the real story there, I mean, the offense was great, right, for Tillman to be able to shine, but he had to put the work in to have that kind of chance.
Here's to Cedric Tillman being the best friend with Deshaun Watson on the football field, but not hanging out with him off the football field. Of course, Byron Young, don't want to forget about him. He goes 14th overall in the third round, 77th overall in the draft to the LA Rams. But a couple of undrafted free agent signings. You got Carvin to the Chiefs, Fant to the Cowboys, Brooks to the Colts, Bumpus to the Giants, I believe. Tampa Bay got Jeremy Banks. Of those guys that I mentioned, they're going to have the opportunity to try out and make an NFL roster. Whose chances do you like the best? We were asked this on the Volquest Monday Night Chat a couple of days ago. I want to see if your head's kind of where mine's at.
My initial reaction was Princeton Fant, because there, I think, is some competitive opportunity at tight end, but also his ability to do a number of different things on the field in the offense for Tennessee and to maybe make an impact on special teams. I think his best route ends up being landing on the practice squad and then an opportunity coming from there. So that is my initial reaction, is Princeton Fant. I like the position there in Dallas. From Tennessee, I always thought Jerome Carvin was underappreciated with his role, how much he had played, his leadership qualities. Who's talking about the left guard? So I don't know that he lands a spot, but he, again, could be a practice squad guy there in Kansas City. He knows Trey Smith. Yeah, I don't know how much that helps him in terms of trying to make the team, but it doesn't hurt, absolutely. So I was a big Jerome Carvin fan when he played at Tennessee. I hope the best for all those guys. Big fan of Latrell Bumpus and what he was able to do at Tennessee. Was an important player, dealt with injuries during his time at Tennessee. But my initial reaction was I like Fant's opportunity, and same for Jerome Carvin.
Josh, the NFL draft is completely done now. At the end of the day, how much does this help Tennessee and Josh Heupel moving forward, recruiting and still showing that if you're going to go to Tennessee, you're going to get developed?
So the results on the field, I think, are their best selling point, how the program has developed. Tennessee is getting more attention. Tennessee has won big games. Recruits have seen Tennessee beat Alabama and LSU and Clemson, the top programs that all of the 4- and 5-star guys are going to end up having on their list. But those guys also want to go to the NFL. And back-to-back years having guys drafted high, having a top 10 pick, having Alante Taylor go high in the draft last year, and then succeeding as a rookie with the New Orleans Saints, you put that together with the results on the field, and Tennessee has a lot to sell. And there will still be questions that Tennessee staff will have to face about, okay, does the offensive system really develop you for the NFL? And we'll see how these guys produce at the next level. But even with that coming up, has that been a hindrance to this point that much? They landed Nico. They have Jake Merklinger committed as a 4-star quarterback in the next class. They landed Dante Thornton as a transfer from Oregon, who has a chance to be a high-impact guy at receiver. Seldon came in this class and is on the team at running back. So they've recruited without having all those results on the field and before putting 5 guys in the draft. So I think it only adds to what Tennessee staff has already been doing. I think the culture is in a good place from a recruiting standpoint. I think the players who are on campus help in recruiting. So now you just add to the sales pitch and you have more to work against the negative recruiting that Tennessee has to face. So it's a big win for Tennessee, for Tennessee's program.
Josh and Swain, weekdays, noon to 3 on the Sports Animal. What's coming up this week on the show and in the newsletter that you can subscribe to by hitting the link in the description of the show page?
Yeah, thanks for that. It's free in your inbox every Friday, and have enjoyed putting it together and appreciate all the feedback. So a lot of reaction to what's happened this past weekend still, and a look ahead to the offense heading into 2024. New quarterback, new guys with opportunities to replace the guys we just talked about. So we're covering it every day on the radio show.
Something we discussed a little bit on today's show way too early.
Mm-hmm.
2024 mock draft, CBS, 30th pick, Javonte Spraggins. Interesting. Something to talk about on the show this week for sure. Josh, appreciate it, man.
You got it. Thank you.
That is Josh Ward. You can find him on Twitter at Josh_Ward. And then right here on Locked On Vols every single Wednesday for Ward Wednesday. Guys, appreciate you being here. Shout out to you everydayers to become an everydayer. Hey, show back up tomorrow. Subscribe to the Locked On Vols YouTube channel. And wherever you get this, your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, Google Play, Odyssey app, wherever those are, download, follow, subscribe. Appreciate you guys having support for the show. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk more Tennessee football, look ahead to fall camp, that and a whole lot more. This is Locked On Vols.